Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
On your home for the best Ravens coverage.
What time is
it? It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 1057
The Fan. Vinny and Haney, 1057 The Fan. News from the Nest here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, John Harbaugh meets with the media today. Ravens back at practice getting ready for Sunday's game. We're going to hear from Lamar Jackson and others at the podium. An open locker room, which we'll talk about with Cordell Woodland, bottom of the hour, because he's going to be in the open locker room. And that situation is who wants to talk and who doesn't. So tomorrow, Vinny, we're going to be chock full of new stuff.
Yep.
Ahead of this divisional round game, Ravens 1-point favorites. But let's hear John Harbaugh talking about some things a couple of days ago. And this one could be pretty important. The punt returner situation. So, John, what's up there?
Well, I'm not sure yet.
Okay.
He'd been gone for quite a while. And he had the physical situation, had some personal things he was dealing with.
Talking about Deontay Hardy.
But he's working hard in practice last week. And you just got to make sure a guy's ready, you know, he's in shape and mentally ready. I mean, in his mind, he's ready. I can tell you that. Wants to play. And we'll just have to see. But Steven is a guy that we also have confidence in. And, I know he had a couple balls gone on the ground last week. It was windy, lefty. He was bombing the ball for sure. And, with the one on the very first one, I don't know if he lost track of where he was at, but we don't want to be backing up inside the 8-yard line and catching those kind of punts.
No doubt about it. Deontay Hardy's got no chance to play. Zero. I mean, they're not going to put a guy in this type of game that hadn't played in a while, even though he's been practicing. But no, not risking that. And with Sims scares me. I mean, Harb's a former special teams coach, and Harb hates people that fumble. And, just nonchalantly, he put on the ground a couple times. No, that stuff can't. Because the number one thing you want from your returner in these types of games is catch the ball. Just catch the ball. Anything you make after that, it's gravy. If you make a big play, hey, so be it. Not expected. So, but the ball is key.
Hey, Tylan Wallace lost that job because of indecision.
He let the ball bounce, yep.
So that's something you don't want to see. In the playoff game, by the way, for the Bills, because we talk about special teams, Ty Johnson's been their kickoff guy.
Shakir.
Terp. And Shakir was returning punts. So that was against the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, and they both do a great job. I mean, because both of them, have run skill. And Shakir, I like Shakir because he's got a strong lower body. And he's hard to tackle.
Now for the Ravens in the offensive line. And Vinny broke down Buffalo's D-line earlier in the show. The offensive line growth. Again, we can revisit topics we discussed in July, August, even into the early part of the regular season. Biggest concern for the Ravens, pass rush. Finished second in sacks. And the offensive line helped spring holes for a guy that rushed for almost 2,000 yards. The growth of the line, John Harbaugh.
The offensive line, just like every position, but it's kind of there's a lot of individual stories in there. The five individual starters, and then there's others, too, that in the depth part of it. If you get into that room, you kind of see that each guy's got his own story, but probably as a whole, it's probably just steady improvement, They've been through a lot. You look back at the Joe D situation, and then, the fact that it was three new guys and all that kind of stuff, and, some of the doubts and all that kind of stuff that they dealt with. I really feel good and proud of them, but really, we don't think about it too much right now, Brian. It's just more about preparing for this game and the challenge that this defense presents our O-line, just like every position.
Who would have thought back in August, I sure the hell wouldn't have, that if you'd have told me, that O-line that's starting out there, you're going to have one Pro Bowl and two alternates. Say, yeah, right.
And he mentioned John Harbaugh, Joe Dallas-Sanders, the O-line coach, died unexpectedly. You brought in George Warhop, and you figure, oh, boy, things are really going to go crazy here. And instead, it became, I don't say the strength of the team, but helped, you know, stabilize one of the top offenses, if not the best offense in the National Football League this year.
And, you know, the improvement has been awesome. You know, the other thing, two things have really helped too, Bob, is Lamar doesn't get sacked much because he can get himself out, which helps the O-line. And then Derrick Henry, he runs through a lot of tackles too, which is big for the O-line. But they have improved. I mean, the guy that's improved the most, I think both guys on the right side have improved a ton. But, you know, you want to say Ronnie Stanley hadn't played like this since 2019. So, I mean, that's, what, 6-7 years?
Yep.
So, he's made great strides. Falele went from a right tackle to alternate Pro Bowl at right guard that never on the ground now and can pull, and, you know, and look at Rosengarten. Gave up nothing to T.J. Watt. So, the improvement's been really phenomenal, and I give the players credit, and I give George Warhop credit.
It's 58-80-105-7 The Fed. News from the Nest here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. John Harbaugh, what stands out about the Buffalo Bills, your next opponent?
I think the biggest thing that stands out is how well coached they are, how well tied together they are. They play complementary football. All three phases play off of each other. They have a defined personality in every phase, and as a team, they're very physical. They play very hard. They're cohesive. Just all the things that you would expect from a well-coached team like they are. So that's the type of challenge that we're facing.
Yeah, I think you got a MVP candidate at quarterback, which helps a lot because it makes a lot of the other things better, which he has, because he's made the receivers better. He's made the O-line better, because the O-line is just okay at best. Receivers are okay. Tight ends are decent. But it all revolves around, I mean, if Josh Allen is not making plays like week four, you lose 35-10. If he's making plays, you got a chance to be in the game and got a chance to win it.
Spitty and Hattie, 105.7 The Fed. Will come back, counts of midweek dough, hopefully with buy or sell. Cordell Woodland, Ravens insider, host of Shake It Up Sports. He'll join us bottom of the hour, preview the matchup with him. Rematch, Baltimore destroyed Buffalo in the first game. I'd expect this one to be a little closer. Then we'll get to your phone calls at 410-583-1057. NFL launch coming up at 1 o'clock. Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com at 1:15. What's going on with Mike Tomlin? He told everyone to stand down. Don't bother. I'm not going anywhere if you're trying to trade for me. I mean, are you believing it? I mean, who are we to call him a liar? And then we'll look at the rest of the NFL playoff slate, which starts on Saturday. Kansas City and Detroit, both on the field after celebrating their bye weeks.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Benny and Haney, 1057, The Fan.
Benny and Haney, 1057, The Fan. Woman Crush Wednesday. Cordell Woodland, Ravens insider, hosted Shaking It Up Sports Preview, the Ravens Bills with him in a few minutes. Don't want to miss that. NFL lunch at 1, Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com at 1:15. But right now, before we talk sports, and there's plenty to talk about, let's count some dough by yourself.
Now, we're making money today. The Dow is up 632. The S&P is up 90. The NASDAQ is up 384. DraftKings, Bob, last time I looked, it was up over a dollar. Now it's down 40 cents.
Ouch.
Under Armour's down 3 cents.
Get our sports topics started here in Major League Baseball. Orioles fans in these parts think that the O's offseason has been quiet. Well, how do you think you'd feel if you were a Mariners fan? They're desperate. They're starving for anything, any sort of move. And to be fair, probably warranted after they finished 85-77 last year, missed the playoffs. In fact, they've regressed in their record every single season since their breakthrough 2021 campaign, a playoff trip in 2022. Since then, though, the wins have steadily decreased. Offense is their biggest need, no doubt about it. Pitching staff could be considered one of the best in baseball, which makes their postseason shortcomings even more baffling. Buy or sell, Bob, without a surprise blockbuster trade to land another bat, Seattle will finish with an even worse record in 2025.
I'll sell it because they have good pitching. I mean, a run production, as you just mentioned, Nolan, is a problem. Let me ask you this real quick. If they're willing to sacrifice a Luis Castillo or a Bryce Miller, both controllable, are you giving up, say, a Mountie or a Kobe Mayo being the linchpin of that trade? Because Mountie's going to have to get paid. He just got to raise an arbitration to over $6 million. Mayo looks like he struck out 6 million times in his brief period in Baltimore. I mean, you're going to have to give something to get something. Who would you be more than willing to give up? Remember, Mountie, a two-time Gold Glove finalist, too.
Usually when you say between the known commodity and the unknown or untapped potential of a prospect, I'd lean more towards what you know. But even then, Mountcastle is kind of a mystery in his own regard because of the health. And who knows how much of an impact moving the wall in is actually going to have on his production. Everyone seems to assume that that's going to lead to more homers, but his homers were down on the road as well these past couple of years. So
yeah,
not so sure.
He had that one hot streak in 23 coming back from vertigo. Then he hurt his shoulder, remember? I count me in as one of those people who thinks old Mountie's going to have a big day or a big year. But talk about nobody doing nothing, watching MLB Network yesterday, trying to multitask. The Padres, additions, zero. Departures, like 12. So there's a team that's had a quiet offseason, and they're looking to get rid of Dylan Cease, apparently, which is crazy.
Over to the NFL here, where Mike Vrabel, he's taken over in New England, now being tasked with filling out his coaching staff. All eyes are going to be on the OC hire, because, look, you got a young quarterback there that they've got to develop. So that's the top priority. One familiar name appears to be in the mix. Vrabel says there's a long list of candidates, but of course, longtime Patriots OC Josh McDaniels, who's had multiple on and off stints with the team, he is in consideration. Vrabel was still playing at one point when McDaniels was calling plays for the offense on the sideline. And we know, even if his head coaching shortcomings are pretty well known, no doubt, he's a highly respected OC. Vinny, buy or sell, Vrabel has to say that they're exploring all options, but we all know McDaniels will be the final choice.
Definitely buy that. Just kind of like the same reason that Aaron Glenn didn't interview for the Patriots job, because everybody knew that Vrabel was getting that job.
Over to the NBA here. A little MVP talk. You know, I got to get some Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
SGA.
I'm stumping. Make him the MVP. Well, he's your MVP favorite so far, according to all the sports books. Right behind him, your usual suspects, some multi-time winners, Nikola Jokic, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Then the odds start taking more of a steep hike when you get to Jason Tatum. And believe it or not, the fifth best odds right now, Victor Wembanyama. But they are 100-1 odds, so it is a steep climb there. Now, this should tell us one thing. We've got a long way to go in deciding MVP, but for now, I'll pose the question, Bob, buy or sell. This year's NBA MVP will be a first-time winner.
I'll buy it. Even though I was looking at some of the numbers last night, prior to the NBA tilt on Tuesday, that Jokic went up against Wembanyama twice and scored over 40 points in both games, even though the Spurs did win one of them. But look, SGA, the Clippers traded him. Drafted him and traded him in the Paul George trade. Remember that one? Out of Kentucky by way of Canada. He's been a stud. They've got the best record in the West. So I think a newbie will win it, and a deserving one. But can I tip my Ravens cap that I'm wearing today to the Pistons? How about the Pistons? Over 500. And old Cade Cunningham's having a big year for them, year three.
Go back to the NFL here. The Steelers, a lot of issues to address this offseason. Coaching staff, quarterback. But what about George Pickens? You know, diva wide receivers, I mean, that's pretty much a fabric of the Pittsburgh organization at this point. But even still, this Pickens stuff, it feels a little bit different. According to Mike DeFabo, we've had him on the show a few times, Pickens apparently showed up late to the Steelers' Christmas Day game against the Chiefs. Now, I'm not talking 5 minutes late here. I'm not talking fashionably late. We're talking almost an hour late.
Whoa.
When coaches, you know, you're on a tight schedule here on game day. The inactives have to be submitted at a certain point. He didn't show up until after that deadline. He still suited up and played, but keep in mind, this was his first game back. He still wasn't playing the game prior against the Ravens, dealing with his nagging injury. All this being said here, Vinny, buy or sell, Pittsburgh should consider sacrificing their top wide receiver threat in a trade to improve the overall quality of their team.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what they could get. But when the production's bigger than the headache, you deal with the headache. I think they're dealing with the headache till the headache gets bigger than the production.
But isn't it funny, though? Because we got a lot of people who hate John Harbaugh who listen to this show from Baltimore but kiss Mike Tomlin's ass. Hey, Harbaugh lost the team. You don't have any dogs in there anymore. How many players have gone rogue under Mike Tomlin in their playoff-less winning streak here?
And they keep inviting it. I mean, this Pickens stuff, it didn't come out of nowhere. Yeah, that was on his report card in the draft.
Been percolating for a while. And Deontay Johnson just got cundiffed out of Houston because he was pouting about not getting the ball.
Antonio Brown.
After they won a playoff game.
The running back.
Oh, Le'Veon Bell.
They've had a bunch.
A lot of them end up coming here.
So Bell for a minute.
Yeah. We'll close up here in the NBA. The Warriors. Very disappointing start to the season. They're below 500. They're on the outside looking in at that play-in tournament seeding. And many are calling for a big swing at the trade deadline next month to get this roster where it needs to be. But if you ask Steph Curry, he's not 100% on board, says that he doesn't want Golden State's front office to make a move out of desperation that would jeopardize the future. That's fair enough, but I mean, Curry's not really operating with unlimited time here. Since their 2022 finals run, they failed to win 50 games, something that was always a formality during their dynasty run. Bob, are you buying or selling Curry's thoughts that they shouldn't be all in on a trade?
I'm selling that because they have to look to the future. They're not trading him. They gave Draymond that extension, which is probably not an ideal situation. But to talk about Father Time, our brother coach Jimmy Patsos was coaching Loyola when Steph Curry was playing at Davidson. Draymond Green was on the Michigan State team that beat Gary Land and Gravis Vasquez in 2010. I don't say they're dinosaurs, but they've been around for a while. And the youth is Jonathan Kuminga. Wiggins is a former number one pick, but he's not a transcendent star. Absolutely, if I'm Golden State, I'm looking at the next wave because Oklahoma City, Houston, Memphis, Denver, I mean, these are teams that have already lapped you to begin with. Minnesota's been kind of disappointing this year, by the way.
No doubt.
But there are other teams in your own conference that appear to be much stronger than you right now and for the foreseeable future. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, talk more Ravens Bills with Cordell Woodland. Then we'll take your phone calls at 410-583-1057. NFL Lunch, feed you some more football. Cleveland going to sue the Browns? How about that? Because the Browns want to move out of Cleveland. Does that ring a bell?
This is 105.7 The Fan's Destination New Orleans.
Brought to you by Dash In.
All the news and insight from the playoff journey. 105.7 The Fan.
Destination New Orleans. And you don't have to pull your top up. Get there. All you got to do is win two more games. If you're the Ravens, it's Vinny and Annie, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Adi, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, Woman Crush Wednesday. Let's break down this divisional game. Sunday in Buffalo, Ravens are favored, back at practice today. Shaking it up sports, he's our Orioles and Ravens insider, joining us on the Window Nation guest hotline, Cordell Woodland. Cordell, what's happening, bud?
What's going on?
What do you think of the matchup here with this Buffalo defense that was shredded by the Ravens? They've improved statistically, still kind of middle of the road. But they have guys back. But this Baltimore offense has been this unstoppable force, and they're ranked number one, and they do all these great things. So what? How much more resistance, I guess, can the Bills put up defensively to make it a closer game? I mean, the Ravens are favored, I guess, for a reason here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a great matchup in terms of the Ravens offense versus the Bills defense. And honestly, I feel that way about a lot of defenses right now with this Ravens offense, the way that they're running the ball. I just don't see anybody being able to slow down the way that they're running the football right now. It's going to be tough. Zay Flowers or not, I just think it's going to be tough for anybody to slow them down. I thought that was a huge statement to run for 300 yards against that Pittsburgh defense first game of the playoffs. I thought that was a huge tone setter for them, and it kind of helps them shake off some of these ghosts of playoffs past. So, yeah, I expect that to kind of be what they lean on in Buffalo. And this is even worse of a matchup, I would say, for Buffalo's defense against this rushing attack. They're obviously lighter in the pants than Pittsburgh is. We saw how they struggled in week four against this rushing attack, even without Milano and Johnson and those guys. I don't know how much of a difference they'll make. They'll have to depend on turnovers, which the Ravens haven't turned the ball over here a lot as of late. And they're going to have to rely on probably the Ravens doing what they do too often, which is get behind the sticks with some of these pre-snap penalties.
Cordell, we did a exercise Monday or Tuesday where, like, we compared Pittsburgh's defensive players versus Buffalo's defensive players, especially, like, you know, the D-line and linebacker and even the corner. You know, they don't have a guy like Hayward. They don't have a guy like Watt. They don't have anybody like Highsmith. They don't have anybody like Joey Porter Jr. You know, they don't have anybody like Fitzpatrick. You know, that's what we were talking about, and kind of goes to your point.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going talent for talent on the defensive side of the ball, yeah, that edge is going to go towards Pittsburgh. And unfortunately, their defense wasn't able to show up for the last month of the season, month and a half, really. I think in large part due to their offense giving them little to nothing and them going up against some high-powered offenses here to finish the season, going against the Ravens twice, seeing Kansas City, I think they played Houston as well. But, yeah, I mean, it was just a struggle for that Pittsburgh defense. I think Buffalo, what does help them is their offense. Their offense helps their defense out substantially more than Pittsburgh's does. So you would imagine – Buffalo is thinking that their defense won't have to be on the field as much. Their defense won't have to get a stop every single drive because they know that their offense is capable of scoring more than 14 points.
Hey, Cordell, what's your gut tell you? And I don't know if you've seen anything yet. You know, you go in the locker room later. What's your gut tell you about this Zay in or out?
Right now, I'm probably leaning towards him being out. I think he does have a chance to be out there. I do. I think this is more of a all hands on deck game than the wild card game was Obviously, a different type of team, different type of environment that you're going in. They could legit lose this game. And sure, they could have lost last week, but I think, you know, a lot of us thought that that game would have been hard for them to lose strictly due to Pittsburgh's offense. This one is going to be a little different. And we could talk about the mismatch of this Ravens offense against that Bills defense all we want, but the Ravens have to stop them too. Mm-hmm. And nobody's been able to beat Buffalo in Buffalo. Nobody's been able to really slow that offense down, especially late in the game when you got to get a stop. They've made their money winning in those moments. So, yeah, I think Zay would be a huge loss if he's not there. But they've shown me that they can operate without him. And especially with the way that the run game is going, I don't think they should fear anybody right now.
Hey, Cordell, watching the press conference Monday, that's as loose as I've seen Harbs in a while.
Yeah, I agree. Look, you're surprised when you get that loose about Harbs, especially this time of year.
But
I think winning last week took a lot of the weight off his shoulders. You know, they could not lose that game. You could not lose that game. If they did, I could only imagine what would be said. You know, so I think them winning that game against that opponent really lifted a lot of the weight off their shoulders. And look, it's not like they don't want to win this game. They obviously do. But I think, you know, you could understand them going out to Buffalo and losing that game. I think that's a little bit of an easier pill to swallow than losing at home to Pittsburgh in the wild card. So, you know, I don't think they're playing with house money. I do think, you know, look, they're obviously favored by Vegas. People are looking at this Ravens team as a Super Bowl or bust team. Mm-hmm. But I think in terms of Harbs and his future and what people may or may not have said, depending on what happened last week, I think he feels like, yeah, you know, it's the weight is off his shoulders in a big way right now.
Cordell, when I do my keys, my number one key is going to be Brandon Stevens, because the last time they played in week four, I think they took four or five shots at him, and they're going to take a bunch of shots at him, and they did last week too. So that is the scariest thing to me.
And the scariest part about it is you don't like any of the matchups that Brandon Stevens could be in. I don't like a matchup with him and Keon Coleman down the field. I don't like a matchup with him and a savvy vet like Amari Cooper, even though Cooper hasn't been what we know him to be. He still is a contested catch wide receiver. Mm-hmm. He can still call some penalties down the field. I don't like the matchup with Shakir in the middle of the field. I don't even know how much I like a matchup with Curtis Samuel right now, somebody who's as shifty and can move the way Curtis can. So that's concerning for sure. And you know the ball's going to find him. It always does. So we got to see what Stevens does. At some point, you hope he'll make a play. But at this point, you just imagine he is what he is. And, you know, I asked Harbs about Stevens Monday. And he's like, you know, he looked at it optimistically, which is what you'd expect. You know, he talked about rolling coverages over that way and, you know, giving them some help. And if they know where the ball is going, that helps them out. Sure. But people have been throwing at Brandon Stevens all year. This isn't new. So I'm sure they'll have a plan. But, yeah, Brandon Stevens is definitely the weak link on that defense right now.
Yeah, Cordell Woodland shaking it up, sports our Ravens, Orioles insider. He said ball finds him. He never finds the ball, though. There's the dilemma for Brandon Stevens. Over under 51.5. You have two stud quarterbacks, two really good running backs. And as you mentioned, Buffalo's not, you know, devoid of talent at receiver. Ultimately, the deciding factor, Cordell, in this game is going to be what for what team?
I think turnovers and special teams, penalties, all that in-between stuff is the difference in this team, because I think both offenses could cancel each other out. No doubt the Ravens are, I think they're the better offense, clearly the hotter offense. But I just think Buffalo does a lot of that same stuff in terms of you having to defend the second, third, sometimes the fourth play. Look at that touchdown that Josh Allen threw to Ty Johnson just this past week. I mean, that's the same type of stuff Lamar does. So, you know, they're going to put pressure on this defense. I think it's going to be high scoring, but who makes that play on the defensive side? What kicker misses a kick? What punter shanks a punt at the wrong time of the game? Who muffs a punt?
And God knows, you don't want it to be Baltimore because that's been an issue for them. So I just think a lot of the gray area stuff is what's going to decide this game when you've got two premier quarterbacks. And I'll tell you something. Buffalo has three running backs that I do like. I like all three of them. Everybody talks about James Cook, and rightfully so. Ray Davis has made a lot of plays this year, and Ty Johnson has been a godsend for them as well. So I think it's going to be a huge challenge for both defenses.
Cumberland Zone, University of Maryland, Ty Johnson. Yep. Cordell, appreciate it as always. Have fun with John Harbaugh, Lamar, and the rest today after one winning drive.
Thanks, guys.
There's Cordell Woodland, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7. The Fan will come back, take your phone calls, 410-583-1057. Feed you more football, NFL lunch, because it is playoff week. Buffalo, Baltimore coming up there Sunday. Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. And we'll look at the other games coming up this weekend as well. Both Detroit, Kansas City coming off byes, ready to kick some ass. Both big favorites. Offensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills, Sean McDermott, their head coach, and others as their underdogs. Bills are at home against the Ravens, in which is essentially, according to the odds makers, a pick'em game. Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. He'll be joining us at 1:15 to preview that. And hey, could Deion Sanders, is this real? Could he really be the coach of the Cowboys?
I don't know. If I'm a betting man, I say no. I think Jerry likes the attention. Deion likes the attention. And let me just say, knowing Deion like I know him, Deion probably doing a lot of negotiating with Colorado to get more money, too.
Yeah, Michael Irvin was popping off about this being prime time in Dallas. We'll see. And Mike McCarthy, you know, Brian DiArto said maybe Chicago is his next destiny.
Yeah.
And a lot of Cowboy fans upset that he's leaving. Michael Parsons was running hot yesterday. And he's a defensive guy.
And he's the one that kind of ripped him, what, about 5-6 weeks ago?
Tough love, I guess. Yeah. Let's get out to the phones. 410-583-1057. Vinny, Haney, Nolan, Samaj, and Gwyn Elk. Samaj, thanks for holding. What's happening?
Hey, guys. Happy New Year to you both.
Thank
Coach,
you.
Coach, Big Bob Haney. Yo. Happy 2020, fellas.
Yeah, man. You too.
Thanks, Buzz. Quick question. Well, first off, man, you know, I know there's a guy, I think his name is Rashawn, a diehard Star Helmet fan. I know his belly is just probably where it usually is. He's probably got a case of bubble guts, and I'll just leave that right there. Now, as far as our boys, and I'm glad you're in, Coach, because I got a question for you. I don't know if it's been posed by any other caller, but, you know, me being a Berg and Gold fan is my number two squad for, you know, as soon as the Colts left, so we talked, what, 82, 83, somewhere back in there, Bob?
84,
yeah. So I watched the whole Brian Mitchell era. Hated when he went to Philly, a division rival, and he still kept doing the damn thing. Now he's in the Hall of Fame. Probably best multi-purpose yards person ever. I think he still holds that. If he's not, he's probably number two to Marshall.
I don't think he's in the Hall of Fame.
He's in the Washington Redskins Hall of Fame.
Yeah, no doubt. But he should be in the Hall of Fame in Canton as a special teamer and multi-purpose guy. That's for sure. I mean, you can't be number two in that and not get in there. But anyway, that's a sidebar. So my point is, though, B. Mitch was a running back. And it's so funny. They got the same damn last name. When Keaton Kane was activated, initially, they put him as the punt returner. And since Brian Mitchell, I have loved, and I guess, you know, back in them days too, Dave Meggett from Towson up in New York.
Yeah.
I love running back as punt returners. The field of play, the proximity of contact to me in my years of watching football is a lot more intense and closer in a punt situation as opposed to a kickoff. That said, If I got any guy to kind of running back that has those type of return skills, good hands, I'd always damn near prefer a running back as my punt returner pretty much over any other skill guy. So that said, has there been any talk as far as this, I'm not going to say crisis, but this concern that we have in the punt return game? Has there been any talk, Vinny, as far as what you're hearing about putting Keaton back there full-time? I mean, if they're not going to use him full-time as a running back, then get the best out of him with his skill set as a punt returner. What you think on that, guys? And Bob Haney, go Terps, baby. That's all I got to say on that.
Damn right.
He does all kick returns. Thanks. Does a good job at kick returns. I don't think you put in a new guy to return punts that hadn't done it, you know, in this type of game. I'm either going Sims or Wallace, period.
And is that a pick your poison? You know what I mean? Not for Buffalo, well, for Baltimore.
Wallace catches the ball, you know, but he let it roll too much was his problem. And he did drop one.
Let's go to Will in Towson. Will, what's happening?
Hey, fellas. Thanks for taking the call. I'm a big fan of the Fan. I just wanted to weigh in on the conversation with Cordell. I certainly agree about the special teams and turnovers obviously being a huge momentum changer. Brandon Stevens being the largest crutch. But I think the difference maker in this game is if Marlon comes out and plays and Humphrey comes out and plays, they're prepared. I think our run defense will be the difference maker against the three-headed monster that they have in Buffalo in the run game. I think that's going to be the difference maker is how we stop the run. And I appreciate it. Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
All right, Will. Thank you very much.
Well, Pierce didn't play last time in week four. So I think this, with Travis Jones, Matt Abike, those two guys on the inside, they do a great job at stacking at the point and using their hands, finding the football, and getting off of blocks. That's what I like about them. And a lot of times, you know, Travis Jones is getting doubled, which is great. Why? Because Roquan runs free. Now, last time they played, Simpson was there, and Simpson was not a real physical kind of guy. Now you got Harrison, who I like him going north and south, you know, or just going north. Just step up and take on. He can do that well, and that'll help. The run game, the run defense should be better because you've got Pierce, you've got a healthy Travis, and I think Matt Abike is playing his ass off right now, and Roquan's better, and Harrison at the inside backer is better than Simpson.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, NFL lunch, Peter, some more football. Hear this from a Buffalo perspective. Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. Preview the divisional round of the playoffs with him. And if you want to join us, one-third is your time. Get in here at 410-583-1057. It's Woman Crush Wednesday. Bob, Eddie, Vinny, Serrato, Nolan McGraw here on The Fan.